It is a little bit of a stretch with a tagline, but not that much. Almost the entire title of the movie is in the tagline, so that ought to be fun. What's up? This is Movies On Up. When you're 17, people think they can do anything to you. Billie Jean is about to prove them wrong. About to prove me wrong for probably the 500th consecutive time is Mr. Dave Bisella.
That's me.
That's Mr. Dave.
Always right. Always
I am here. Ryan. Always wrong. We are always Movies On Up. Our tagline for this week is when you're 17, people think they can do anything to you. Billie Jean is about to prove them wrong. If you are correct in guessing what movie that comes from, you can win a prize package from us. You can send your guess to us in one of the three following ways. You can email us, moviesonup@gmail.com. You can leave it on our Facebook page, which is found at facebook.com/moviesonup. Or you can tweet your guess at us, @moviesonup, on the Twitter. If you are correct and if we choose you, you will win one of our legendary Movies On Up prize packages delivered straight to your residence. This week, Atomic Blonde hits theaters, and we usually like to do a list or an episode that is at least tied into a big release that week. And we've already done Charlize Theron, like we mentioned last week, Sofia Boutella, we both like a lot, but she just doesn't have a ton of credits yet. We could each do a really good top three. It'd probably be the same movies. And we've already done female-led action movies twice.
Twice.
So we were kind of strapped for ideas, but we thought, all right, well, Wonder Woman was a great, strong female action movie from earlier this year. If we're going to do a movie episode in the year it comes out, it's usually a couple weeks later. It's like Star Wars, like the Avengers, something that has been such a giant part of the podcast that we can't not talk about it. But Wonder Woman, I think, actually makes a great deal of sense here. Not only is it a female superhero, which we don't have a ton of to this point, but it's also a superhero movie directed by a woman in Patty Jenkins, who directed an Oscar winner in
starring
Charlize
Theron.
Yeah. So that kind of the snake eats its tail on that one.
On up circle, yeah.
Right, is now complete. So that movie seemed like it would make a good deal of sense to be our topic for this week. It actually came up, surprising to me, a couple weeks ago when we did our top five list. It made
the halftime show.
Yeah, we did our halftime show, top five of this year. It made Dave's top five. I think it was relatively high. Was it two?
I think it was two, yeah.
Two, yeah. That kind of shocked me, mostly because I didn't know that Dave had liked it as much as he did. If you look at the cinema score for Wonder Woman and the Rotten Tomatoes score, which is arbitrary, but I believe it was in the mid to low 90s, which for a superhero movie is fantastic, to be very honest with you. And I liked the movie. I just didn't like it quite that much. On my list, it probably would have been closer to 10 than 2. It may have come across on that particular episode like I don't like Wonder Woman. But that's not true. I think it's a fine movie. I think it is the second best DC movie that they've done in the last 20 years, outside of only A Dark Knight. But I just didn't love it the way everyone else did. I don't want it to come across that I'm some kind of Wonder Woman hater, because it's just not really accurate.
It's a hard one to gauge how much you like it. Because with Marvel ones, you have Spider-Man, Doctor Strange, Guardians of the Galaxy. You can compare those in relation to those.
Right.
Like, there's enough Marvel movies to where I like Spider-Man as much as the last couple Captain America. So it's very high.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Doctor Strange, probably
not as much
Thor territory, yeah, for me. So, I mean, that's not saying they're bad. They're good. But there's a way to relate to them. With Wonder Woman, you can't compare them to the other DCU movies because
they've been awful.
They've been awful. They've been really, really bad. You got Man of Steel, BVS, and Suicide Squad. Three really bad movies. You could compare them in the larger scope of comic book movies, whereas Logan came out this year, which was phenomenal.
Right.
So it's hard to compare it to that. Deadpool is a completely different animal. The X-Men's aren't good, so I don't want to compare it to that.
I mean, the closest comparison for me is Captain America, the original. They're both period pieces. They're both somewhat origin stories.
Which is fair.
Right. Captain America takes place in World War II. Allegedly, Wonder Woman takes place
in
World War
I,
which is news to my co-host. And I don't even think it's fair to compare those movies, because I think the world, even by the time Captain America had come out, Iron Man had kind of set the table for him. Wonder Woman, if somebody set the table, they basically put like dead rats on it and then sat you down to try and have a meal. And out of the rat salad that the DCEU had made, I think Wonder Woman, even if I had never seen Batman versus Superman, I would still think Wonder Woman was a good movie.
Yeah, and it was. It wasn't bathing in the stench of BVS or Suicide Squad even, which may not make sense because she did debut in Batman versus Superman.
Right.
But the fact that it's a period piece and it's taking place decades before Batman versus Superman, I think there's some willingness to go in with an open mind where you're not...
A good century before.
We're not picking up Wonder Woman right after BVS. Right. So you're not continuing that terrible story. We know we're getting something before. And it's weird because people were so worn out with comic book movies that somehow origin story has become this like taboo thing. But to me, this doesn't feel like an origin story because to me, Wonder Woman didn't really have an origin, if that makes sense. Like, she wasn't bit by a spider.
Right.
She didn't...
Super soldier serum.
Yeah, it's a biopic, pretty much.
Right.
Like, this is...
She was always that way.
This is who she is. And then it's just who she becomes and where she gains this like for humanity and what she's going to do. So it's a good human story, in a way. Even though it's this goddess, it's hard to say. But I feel like it was distanced enough by the story... It's so far away from that stench of BVS.
It gave it room to breathe.
Yeah.
That you didn't have to build off of a shaky foundation. However shaky that foundation was, the movie obviously was a great success financially. It opened to $103 million on June 2nd of this year, which was head and shoulders, about $80 million clear of the second place superhero that weekend, which was Captain Underpants. That was your number two movie. Also, its debut weekend. Pirates, Dead Men Tell No Tales was number three.
I forgot that movie was this
year. Yeah, that came out. Guardians 2 was number four. And another movie that you may have forgotten about, but the Germans are not letting us. That's Baywatch rounds out your top five for that week. Usually when we talk box office numbers, it's years later and the movie has finished its run. This
it's
one's
still
going.
Strong.
Yeah. So to date, on July 11th, or really July 10th, because I did this last night, the movie had grossed $368.4 million domestically. We don't usually talk worldwide, but because it's still a living, breathing thing, it's made another $377 million worldwide. So you're at like $700 million. That's a ton of money. It's sitting at 34th on the all-time domestic list right now. One spot below another human born of a god, but admittedly, he had a bit tougher of a go in Mel Gibson's movie.
Apocalypto?
No. The Passion of the Christ. Ah. That would be the one about the god child there. One spot ahead of last year's animated pet comedy.
Secret Life
it
of
is
Pets.
The Secret Life of Pets. Certainly, I think that movie eventually, Wonder Woman is going to pass Passion of Christ. I forget how far it is behind there, but it's still making money.
The past weekend, two weekends ago, the 7th through the 9th, it was its sixth weekend. It was still number four. And this is the summer. Mm-hmm. In the summer,
there's something every week.
You expect movies, the shelf life is usually 2 or 3 weeks to be in that money-making thing. But, I mean, it brought in just under $10 million in its sixth weekend.
We're going to do a lot of box office because it's something that interests both of us. And Wonder Woman specifically, I think, has been fascinating. It's making a lot of money. Why is it making a lot of money? All right, well, it's a good movie, but put that on the side for a second. Who's buying the tickets to see Wonder Woman? Superhero movies are generally about 60% male, and they often skew even a little more male than that. Wonder Woman is pretty close to 50-50. I think it's still slightly more male than female, but that gap has closed. And it's actually doing very well with people that are 55 plus. These aren't normally folks. They're not lining up.
I remember the war still.
Not quite. They're not the same audience that's going to see Deadpool. You know, they're not lining up around the block to see Guardians of the Galaxy, but this movie, Wonder Woman, has brought something different that has brought that crowd out to see a superhero movie more than they usually do. I'm not sure if it's just the fact that, you know, Wonder Woman is a very legacy character. She's been around a long time, so people know of her, but they haven't really had the opportunity to see a lot of Wonder Woman movies already, whereas we've seen several iterations of Batman or Spider-Man or Superman or you name it.
There's different generations there, too. There's the ones that grew up on the comics. There's the ones that grew up on the Linda show, Carter yeah. show. And then there's the ones now. There's a doll line, superhero girls doll line and cartoon. So for it to be like the first big screen Wonder Woman movie, it's not just appealing to comic geeks. Like
right.
Its appeal is much broader than most comic book movies going in.
And I think you see that in the numbers, that it's not that 60-65% male audience where everyone's essentially 35 and under. The fact that you are getting more women and more of the older demo in there, I think, speaks to the fact that it's bringing something different to the table.
And the thing with any movie like this, any tentpole movie, these are movies people need to see. Batman vs. Superman opens big. Suicide Squad opens big because there's a certain audience that needs to see that movie. And then there's the audience that doesn't need to see it. And when BVS or Suicide Squad or like the latest Transformers or Pirates, when those come out, it's going to get the audience that needs to see it.
Week one, and then it's going to fall off.
And then where you transition and where you get staying power is, what are those people that need to see it saying?
Word of mouth.
Is it a movie that people want to see now? Transformers 5 comes out. You have the people that know they're going to see it.
Mm-hmm.
And then the people that don't have interest. But if it's really good and those people that need to see it are like, it's really surprisingly good, then those people want to see it. Marvel's kind of blurred the line. They have the audience that need to see it and people want to see it. DCU's still trying to build that up to get past the need to see it. And Wonder Woman did. You have people want to see it. 6 weeks later, they still want to see it. Through the dailies, it's still in third or fourth place with all these other movies that have come and gone in the meantime. Since then, Transformers and Cars 3 are two big-time
right.
releases.
Established franchises.
That came and went, essentially. I mean, they're still in there, but
not good.
They're not making the money that Wonder Woman is 6 weeks later.
When we talk about, I guess, what attracts people to Wonder Woman, a lot of, at least leading up to the movie, was that, yes, it's the first depiction of Wonder Woman or a female-led superhero movie, which I guess you can argue about that, but recently, we've had a lot of movies that were headlined by women that maybe they weren't superheroes, but they were clearly the heroes of the movie. And in that genre of female action heroines specifically, Wonder Woman right now ranks fifth behind two of the Hunger Games movies and then two Star Wars movies, with Rogue One and Force Awakens being number two and number one respectively. And really, between these five movies, there might be 1 year where a female-led action movie did not make the top five, and that was one of the Hunger Games ones that didn't do as well, but it's still in the top. So every year, we've had at least one that's been really, really good, and I believe the year Force Awakens came out, that was the last Hunger Games one, too. So we got two that year.
Like, even something like Lucy, a couple
yes.
summers ago, did decent. Salt, with Jolie.
Mm-hmm.
Did decent.
Lucy maybe getting a sequel.
And it's frustrating because even Mad Max, throw Mad Max into the mix because Charlize Theron stole that movie.
Yeah.
It's frustrating because I'm tired of...
Covenant this year. Didn't do well, but that's Catherine Waterston.
I'm tired of every time a female-led action movie comes out, generally they've been doing well mm-hmm. more often than they haven't. But I'm tired of every time one does well, the same argument. Oh, maybe female action movies can do better than we thought. Why are you still thinking that they can't? Because consistently, the Hunger Games, the last
yep.
two Star Wars,
right.
Wonder Woman, Lucy to a smaller degree, like there's plenty of evidence to show that people don't care. Give them a good action movie. It doesn't matter who the lead is. Look at all the male-led action movies that bomb one after the other.
Pirates of the Caribbean.
Transformers.
Yeah.
Like that don't do well. And at no point do we have an argument when one does well that's like, oh, you know, maybe men can lead action movies. Not to be on like a soapbox, but it gets frustrating because it's only an issue because you're still talking about it. Like, it's only there because you're still bringing it up when there's ample evidence to show that it's not a thing. You just have to make more of them.
Right. I mean, you can make the argument, and I would certainly, that Star Wars is the biggest franchise in film history right now. And it's been very clear that going forward, that franchise is going to be run by Rey for at least...
She's the Skywalker. She's the Luke in this.
Right, yeah.
Trilogy.
For at least the next two saga movies. And who knows what happens after that. But having the first spinoff movie be also led by a female and having that be incredibly successful. And certainly there are strong male characters in Star Wars, and that's maybe more of an ensemble than something like The Hunger Games was. But when Star Wars can be led by a woman, you have to stop. Because if they're willing to entrust that franchise with that amount of money, billions of dollars it took to buy that franchise, for Disney to allow a woman to lead that.
And it's not a woman based on star power. It's not like,
right.
It's like, oh, Angelina Jolie's got it.
No one knew who Daisy Ridley was before she was cast.
No, because they don't care. In their eyes, it was, let's make a good story. Let's be led by a good character. Not, we need to try to lead this with a woman.
They didn't get Scarlett Johansson to come in and be a Star Wars heroine.
No.
Felicity Jones is a wonderful actress.
Oscar nominated.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For the Stephen Hawking movie. Yeah. And nobody knew who the hell that character was because she didn't exist before. So, yes, obviously a woman-led action movie can succeed. That argument in perpetuity is frustrating. But what I do find a little bit frustrating about this movie is that, in terms of the DCEU and its overall gross, Wonder Woman, number one with a bullet, had the smallest opening. Batman vs. Superman had the largest. It opened to $166 million, which I get. Batman has a ton of fans. So does Superman. You put them together, you make a lot of them. Fine. Suicide Squad opened to $33 million less, so $133 million for Suicide Squad. And even Man of Steel managed $116 million. That was a bad movie. This, I don't know if it was just a factor of having the three movies before it. Again, setting the table full of dead rats. I don't know if people were hesitant that this movie was going to be good because it opened to $13 million less than Man of Steel. Were expectations that low? Was buzz that low? I mean, it ended up far outgrossing any of these other movies.
I think it was a fool me three times type situation where I don't think it didn't open well because of, I'm not going to say a $100 million opening is poorly.
It's a fine opening.
But following up the two movies that it's following and how critically and
well, the three, if you throw the Man of Steel in there.
Yeah, but just how universally loathed they are, that's where the need to want comes in. Because it opens to $103 million and it's bad, and all those people that needed to see it for the continuity are like, oh, it's not any better. Then it peters out and it doesn't even make $200 million.
Right.
But those people are like, it's really good, and they're going back to see it again. And the people that didn't have interest now want to see it. And 6 weeks later, it's still making money.
It's still making money.
BVS wasn't top four after 6 weeks.
No, because...
And it came out in March.
Right.
It wasn't even in prime.
Right. The need to was, you don't need to see this movie because it sucks. Wonder Woman has, in its 8 week run, it's already outgrossed Batman versus Superman by $68 million. That's as of when we sit here and record. So by the time it's all said and done, I mean, probably by over $100 million, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's
I mean, realistically, I think it makes another $40 million. I don't think that's a stretch.
No.
So how does that happen? You have two of the most popular superheroes in terms of comic book sales and been around a long time, established fan bases. How in the blue hell do you have a movie with a hero that's never been on the big screen before? You had Ben Affleck, who was a legit bona fide Hollywood star. Gal Gadot, most people, myself included, did not know who she was until she was cast as Wonder Woman in BVS. How does that movie outgross Batman versus Superman by over $100 million? Now, as I like to do, I will oversimplify and tell you there are exactly two ways that it does that. And number one, you have a great lead. Number two, you have a great director.
I think it more boils down to the second part, the good director, because Gal Gadot was great, and I raved about her in the halftime show. I think you were watching the birth of a movie star in this. Like, what she does in this movie, she's incredibly enjoyable to watch. Even when she's not kicking, or she's not punching, or even when she's not talking, she does so much with her face in this movie that it's a beauty to watch. Like, I think she is really, really good. It's one of my favorite superhero performances because she had so much to do with so little, if that makes sense, where she had to carry a facial expression to get through a lot, and she did. The fish out of water, the determination to find Ares. But without a good director, that doesn't come out that much. And Patty Jenkins knows humans and knows people, and that's something I don't think Zack Snyder does. I don't think he understands human emotion or emotion's impact in a story. He just wants it to look cool. Patty Jenkins made it look cool. It falls in line. It looks like a superhero movie. The action is great. The fighting is awesome. The action is some of the best directed action I've seen in a superhero movie. It's very well shot. And then, but there's that heartfelt element. There's that human element to where there's something you can connect to. And it's paced well. And the chemistry between her and Chris Pine is great. The chemistry between Chris Pine and his team, and then her with the team. Like, there's a lot of strings being pulled by Patty Jenkins, and they're all getting pulled flawlessly. And she gets that performance out of Gal Gadot, who I'm confident Gal Gadot is a great actress now. But I didn't know that going in. Now I know she's a great actress, and Patty Jenkins, who has an Oscar-winning Best Actress under her tutelage, you can understand why, because she got great performances from this entire cast, and especially from the lead.
We'll certainly dig more into both of them, but I'd like to start at least with Gal Gadot. When we did our BVS episode, we both said that the best thing about the movie, and in my opinion, but the only redeeming part of the movie, was Gal Gadot as Wonder Woman. She made me cautiously optimistic that she could lead a movie. Based on what we saw in Batman versus Superman, she was the best part of it. So I thought that Wonder Woman had a chance, and I think she's much more captivating in her role than either Henry Cavill or even Ben Affleck.
Without a doubt. And it was hard, because with BVS, she was the best part of it. But she was in it for like 10 minutes.
Right.
So it was...
I'm not sure Henry Cavill had a good 10 minutes in that movie.
In two movies of being Superman, he doesn't. I did have doubts, because she was the best part of that movie, but everything around her was so shit that it was not hard to be...
She's work hot.
That was a possibility at the point. Like, possibly she was work hot. Everything else is so subpar that her being good is seen as great. And you only saw it for like 10 minutes. So I did have doubts. And seeing her in this, she carried the movie. I'm confident she could carry any movie you put her in now. Like, I think she's that good.
And perhaps the reason that you're able to ascertain her skills as an actress is because she and her character were multifaceted, which is not something you would accuse Henry Cavill's Superman or even Ben Affleck's Batman of. Right, yeah, they're just...
Sadder.
Morose. Somebody shitting their Cheerios, I believe, is the vernacular. Her character seemed to have a bit of a sense of humor. And humor completely devoid from the bat and the cape. She had humanity. She felt the plight of the French people in that occupied village. And she had the strength of any great hero. She wasn't just, I have this costume and I fight crime. Which basically... to me, is what I got from Batman versus Superman. She was the most human of all of those characters.
She wants to be a hero. Of those, you know, Superman feels obligated to, and that's touched on in those movies where he's only doing it out of this sense of that he has to.
With great power comes great responsibility. That was something Superman said, right?
Yeah. Batman is there because his parents being killed. He has nobody else to talk to. She wants to be a hero. Chris Pine is begging her not to be. Like, let's get this done.
Right.
But she's the 14-year-old kid that got superpowers and just wants to do something bigger than stopping shoplifters. Like, she is that doe-eyed kid who has this wonderful gift that wants to show it off to everybody.
And I guess that comes from her being kind of cloistered in her upbringing, that she didn't really have the chance to integrate into this world, and she gets the chance, and you get to see that in that fish out of water aspect. And part of those multifacets, I mean, if you're going to be a superhero, there is an element, and you've already touched on, is the physicality, because superheroes generally have to fight some stuff, and that was no exception for Wonder Woman. In what could have been basically kick, kick, punch, punch, Jenkins gave Diana a ton to work with. The scene specifically that I think of is when that lasso finally comes into play as like a viable weapon, as opposed to just getting like an interrogation tool. That's awesome. Far and away, that's my favorite scene. It's kind of a crane shot where you see her doing some damage. You see Steve shooting people, and it's kind of a nice overhead view of the battle, and everybody's got their own little moments. It's not just, well, these guys are fist fighting over here, she's kicking a guy in the neck over here, and these guys are wrestling.
What got me was the cutting through the tunnel, and there's all these people whose homes have been taken away from them, and all they need to do is get through the tunnel to get where they want. It's when Wonder Woman is born, when she's like, these people's homes are gone. And, you know, against Steve's wishes, she gets up and just starts walking across no man's land.
I feel like that was a bit less than subtle. Yes, this is no man's land,
yeah.
But this is no man.
Yeah.
I get it.
And I
get
it. But the 10 minutes of action that come after it, I think are great.
Right.
I think it's phenomenal because there's a personal stake to it. That's these people's home. It's not just a big superhero set piece where they're just saving people for the sake of saving people. Like, she doesn't have to do that. These people lost their homes. They're accepting it. They're living it. They could cut through and do Steve's mission, and everything's the same. But it's her going above and beyond, and I feel that adds this emotional stake to the action that we don't see a lot in superhero movies.
You mentioned kind of the lack of emotion in Snyder's...
Saying there's a lack means that there's some, but not enough.
Right. How about
absence.
Dearth?
Is absence that... okay. of emotion.
Complete absence of emotion. In addition to having a lack of emotion, I think that Snyder does try and imprint very much his style on those movies. And I think David Ayer, maybe to a lesser extent.
Well, that's all you have.
In Suicide Squad.
I guess it
yeah.
makes sense.
But that's what I think that Jenkins did such a fantastic job in this movie is she directed some great action scenes. But you know, if you're watching like a basketball game, the best compliment you can say about the referees is that you don't notice them. I think that in this particular instance, that's the best thing you can say about Patty Jenkins is you didn't notice the director as she's not trying to be a star in the movie.
Her style is substance.
Right. Yes.
Is what... She's more concerned about the substance, and she's not getting in her own way. She's
right.
not trying to be the star.
Above the title, Zack Snyder's
yes,
Batman
yes,
versus Superman.
And that's a perfect way to describe it. But the action, it's so well done.
Yeah.
Like, she knows how to direct. And this, it's not like, oh, she only got the job because she's a woman and it's a Wonder Woman. She was hired for Thor, too.
Mm-hmm.
And just, it didn't work out, which that happened a lot with Marvel back then.
Which
is
a shame, because Thor 2 probably could have used her
yeah.
help.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. So, I mean, you got a good director, not flashy. And that's why I like the idea of Joss Whedon doing Batgirl. Whedon's this name. He's this big director, but at no point does he get in the way of his own stuff. Whedon's style is storytelling.
Right.
So, Batgirl, I don't really think warrants a movie on her own.
But if it's
going to
be a Joss Whedon,
driving
story.
It, absolutely. And that's why I've been anti-DCEU from the beginning, because you gave the keys to Zack Snyder, whose style is it looks cool.
Right.
As
opposed to
it.
A Joss Whedon
you can't,
or someone like J.J. Yes. Abrams. These guys that have reinvigorated franchises, started
you can't
universes.
Build, you can't build a franchise based on it looks cool. Unless you're Transformers,
I feel like, yeah, if you're Michael Bay, I do feel like that he was very much trying to build things in his own image.
Which is why Jimmy Olsen is killed unceremoniously, which is why nothing matters. It's a Zack Snyder universe and not a DC universe, where if you compare that to Marvel, there are the tiniest cameos that even those tiny, tiny characters are dealt with such respect because they've been in comics for decades. So even though they're not relevant here, they're still respected
right.
as characters, where Zack Snyder has none of that respect. He has zero regard for the universe that he's building.
And again, I think that's an ego thing that we didn't really 100%. Have. We didn't have here with Patty Jenkins. But to bring Whedon back into the discussion for a second, so Wonder Woman, from a critical standpoint and from a commercial standpoint, massive success. Yep, Wonder Woman 2 has been in the news the past couple days that it may be set in the 80s, maybe Chris Pine's coming back, but Wonder Woman, great job. Joss Whedon coming in to take over for Snyder. I mean, I wanted the guy to get fired, well, but I didn't want him to have to leave the way he did.
I hate Zack Snyder.
Yes.
I do empathize with him.
For sure.
His daughter, he had to leave Justice League near the end during post-production, during reshoots. His daughter committed suicide. I would not wish that on anybody.
Absolutely.
I don't like him as a filmmaker, but I don't wish ill on him. So it was exciting to see Joss Whedon come into Justice League, but not under those circumstances. So as much as I talk crap on Snyder, like
right.
I want to be clear, my heart does go out to his wife and him, because I do not wish that on anybody.
That is a terrible thing. But once it happens, you know, once he steps away and Whedon comes in, I don't know if that, coupled with the success of Wonder Woman, is enough to change the trajectory of the DCEU. I don't know if it's like a big ship that just can't quite turn on a dime, but I think there's reason for optimism.
Possibly, because here's where
I think Aquaman could be cool with James Wan.
Maybe.
Maybe
I just
if
don't
Lord
care about
Miller
that
come to do The Flash. I don't know. I feel like it's there.
The DCEU got rolling too fast.
Yes.
You gave Man of Steel to Snyder. Nobody liked it. And you thought, okay, let's give it another crack. Let's give him Batman and Superman to see what he does with it. Nobody liked it. But you've already given him the two Justice Leagues, which start filming as BVS comes out.
Right.
So BVS comes out, people hate it. He's got two failures for you already from a movie standpoint.
Yes.
Money standpoint, not so much. But the wheels are already in motion. You can't just a week into filming Justice League, because BVS is so critically panned, and you can't just say like, oh, we're done.
You can. I'll tell you who would have done that. Kathleen Kennedy would have gone in there with a ball bat and she'd have taken the reins.
Kathleen Kennedy wouldn't have been filming already. Like
that's probably true.
She wouldn't have hesitated.
Right. And if they do that on Star Wars, and you ask Josh Trank, ask
Lord Miller,
ask Gareth Edwards for God's sake.
Yeah. After BVS, they did shift some stuff, and they got Geoff Johns more involved. They shifted the hierarchy. But you still have, you know, you can rearrange the back seats, but if the same dude's driving, you're still going to drive off the same cliff. And Whedon maybe makes that transition better. He's going to do the post-production. Whedon's made it clear. It's still a Zack
right,
Snyder movie.
Yeah.
Everything I'm doing is in his style. So Justice League is still going to be a Zack Snyder movie. But if it comes out and it's the same kind of reception, and then Batgirl comes out and people love it, I think it starts to shift. Because they already shifted from Justice League being two movies
right.
to one. If Aquaman does well, you know, under James Wan's tutelage, if they can ever get The Flash up and going, which has gone through, Lord Miller were there, they backed out,
yeah.
Seth Graham Smith backed out, the dude from Dope, I was excited for his take. He's out, so Lord Miller may be circling it again, which I think would be one of the only things to get me back interested. Marvel's learning now, to an extent, that you gotta let these directors work. And I think Edgar Wright was the extreme. I think the same thing happened with Lord Miller, to where you know what these guys are capable of, and you want what they're capable of to work in your framework. But sometimes what they're capable of is all they can do.
But I'll be honest. I think Edgar Wright in the MCU would work now in a post-gun world.
I do, too. I do, too.
They would be more willing to work with him, whereas the Star Wars machine does not allow for individual thought.
Ant-Man wasn't safe by any means.
Right.
You know, you can take a risk on John Watts because Spider-Man's going to be a hit.
Yes.
But when you hit, it's even bigger. So I think Watts was a great choice. Ant-Man wasn't proven. Ant-Man was a risk. Guardians of the Galaxy was a risk, But Gunn worked within that. And Edgar Wright's summary was like, I really wanted to make a Marvel movie, but Marvel didn't want to make an Edgar Wright movie. And I would love just an Edgar Wright Ant-Man, but if he stays on Ant-Man, we don't get Baby Driver.
Right.
I liked Ant-Man. I love Baby Driver. So it all happens, and you got to give these, you got to let these directors work. And Patty Jenkins was brought in and said, make a Patty Jenkins movie. She wasn't told, make a Zack Snyder movie.
Which I don't know what that is. In fairness, I don't know what, and I don't think that's a bad thing. If I don't know what a Patty Jenkins movie is, no. Other than it just being well directed.
Yeah. Good.
That's her job.
Yeah. Come in and you do you.
Yeah.
Don't come in and you do Zack Snyder.
Her job is not to bring a gimmick like slow-mo poses or bullet time or, you know, telling a story out of sequence. She doesn't need to do that. Her job was to make a very good movie, which is something that hadn't been done in the DCEU yet. She was able to do it. Gal Gadot was able to lead it. You know, if I don't watch Justice League, which I probably will, to be honest. If I never end up seeing Batgirl or whatever, I will see Wonder Woman 2.
Oh,
when that comes out. Patty Jenkins has not signed on to direct that again, but they're optimistic she'll come back.
And I like that it's still, we talked about, it was washing the stench of BVS off right. By being a period piece. This one's going to take place in the 80s. So even if Justice League is terrible, you're not going to let it sink Wonder Woman, because by the time Wonder Woman 2 comes out, you're still 30 years before the sequel, before Justice League. So
yeah.
You're keeping her isolated into her world. And
the only part about that that bothers me is I'm already comparing Wonder Woman to Captain America. And then if you take Wonder Woman 2 and put her against the Russians, you're basically doing the Winter Soldier.
In a way, yeah.
Yeah, and I just, can we do something different with her? I mean, I get World War
I
One's
like the
a big
idea
deal.
Of Diana Prince in the 80s, though. Like, I think that would be fun. I like that it's their own thing, to where Wonder Woman is going to be, Wonder Woman 2 is going to be successful, even if the
yes.
DCEU falls flat.
You're
from
right.
Here on out. If Justice League is the nail in the coffin and we have to reboot everything,
they won't
you
reboot
still
Wonder
have
Woman.
A Wonder Woman thing.
Yep.
And that was kind of what I said. I think it was our summer preview where I expected Wonder Woman to be so good that they're going to do anything they can to keep her. Maybe Matt Reeves recasts Batman. Maybe the Batman isn't Affleck. Maybe Juan's Aquaman is more in line with the DCEU movies so far, and they just kind of let that fall through. Like, I think they're going to start kind of taking it as a one-by-one approach. Whereas they came out running and was like, hey, let's make a franchise.
Yes.
Instead of, hey,
let's
make
the
good
Avengers
movies.
Before we make.
Yeah.
And we've made that argument at nauseam.
The Mummy did that.
Yes.
Where it tries to build a franchise. And Amazing Spider-Man 2, I watched a great video online. It's like a 10-minute essay about comparing Amazing Spider-Man 2 to Spider-Man 2 about they tried to do the same thing, but where Amazing Spider-Man went wrong. And a lot of it is trying to set up this universe that nobody cares about if they don't care about this movie.
Too fast, too quickly. And that's the one thing that Wonder Woman did have going for it. It wasn't setting anything else up.
No.
It doesn't lead into anything.
You have a scene at the beginning and a scene at the end that ties it all together.
Scotch tape, BVS.
You take out those scenes and
it's a standalone, good superhero movie. And that's what Logan was. To a certain extent, that's what Deadpool was. And those have been three of my favorite superhero movies recently. So let us know what you think of Wonder Woman. If you liked it, and I'm sure that most of you did, because it's, like I said, most people tend to love it. If you're like me and you're confused, just let me know that you're out there, because sometimes it's nice to know that I'm not the only one that doesn't quite get it the same way everyone else does. Next week, we'll keep the girl power theme going with our discussion on the films of Kathryn Bigelow. We're just going to kind of...
We're going from A to Z.
Dave's driving that one. He's the baby next week, so I don't know exactly how we're going to do it, but I do know that we're going to talk a vast majority of Kathryn Bigelow's films, and she's been doing it for a while.
First credit was a co-director in 81.
Yeah.
So almost 40 years.
Right. That's quite
but 9 films.
Quite a filmography to go through. But we'll go through that next week. So until then,
keep it up.